Amen. Okay, so the subject that I am talking about this morning is toxic thoughts, overcoming toxic thoughts and mental strongholds, right? And so some of you are like, oh, this is going to be heavy. Okay, let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you some science, I'm going to give you some spiritual, and I'm going to give you some practical, all right? We're going to get a very good, well-rounded word, right? It may not feel like maybe that tropical dessert you were wanting when Pastor Jess was talking about it. It may not feel like steak, but it's going to feel like a kale salad with some quinoa and some things that my body needs, right? And I'm going to put a good dressing on it. Okay, so it's going to taste good, but it's going to be something that our spirit needs to hear in order to prosper with God, because God loves you and God cares about you, and he is for the entire salvation of yourself, not just your eternal soul, but also your body and your mind while you're here on earth. God is all about that, and so that's why he gives us in the word these scriptures that we get to break down and get to talk about it. Now, some of you may feel a little uncomfortable with the subject already. Like maybe you may feel like, well, I don't know if I really have any issues or problems with my mind. Some of you are like, yeah, I got some issues. Like I was at a birthday party and for my kids were there with their friends, and I was being introduced to some people, and one lady was a therapist and then her husband was a life coach. And so she says hi, and already I'm like, she can read my eyeballs. Like where should I put my eyeballs at? Like my body language, I'm confident. No, I'm good. Good, 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 good. So good. I'm so good. Like, and I am good, but there's this insecure part of you because you know, like, yeah, I'm good most of the time, but sometimes I have some thoughts, right? I think that probably happens. I never really realized it, but I'm sure maybe that happens with my husband and I, because we're pastors and people are like, I'm blessed. Okay. So the therapist just gets it the other way. But you kind of get this feeling like, does she know what I'm thinking? Because most of the time I'm doing good, but sometimes I'm not doing so well. And that's what we're going to talk about, is we're going to be vulnerable today. And we're going to let the Holy Spirit work on us today. Some of you may have pushed down some feelings and some thoughts and some situations in your life, and it's very painful to look at them again. I remember suggesting breaking free to a friend of mine, and she said, I can't. I cannot open that door again because it hurts so bad to even look at it again. And today while I'm talking, there may be situations like that with you, but I want to encourage you to face it with courage. I want you to get some strength inside of you to say that if God can overcome the grave, if God can overcome hell, listen, this is a hospital. This is not a museum, okay? We are not on display trying to look perfect on a shelf, but God has come to seek and save the lost. And all of us were lost at one point and still on a journey. We cannot say, as I got saved at 16 years old, that poof, everything was just done. There's situations that have happened in my life. There's things that have happened that I have to overcome as well as you do. So today, let the Holy Spirit come and minister to you. Open up your heart and let him do the work because he loves you. Because he loves you. You know, I brought up my kale. So when they were saying, do you like to garden? I'm like, I brought my own kale to church. Yes. Okay. But this is from my garden. And I volunteered at a farm, which is even weirder. Okay. But I was trying to learn. So the easiest way to learn someplace is to volunteer there. So just as FYI, free education. And so this is kind of like a really good piece of kale, right? Like it looks pretty perfect. And on the other hand, I have this other piece of kale, and I don't know if you can see it so much, but there's holes in it and there's blemishes on it. And in fact, I have an apricot tree which is just ready to just make all this fruit. It's so delicious. And there's a pretty perfect piece of apricot right here that is going to be so yummy to eat. And then there's this one that is pretty beat up, pretty speckled, right? And the thing about this one and this one is that the one that's a little damaged actually has more nutrients, because for the apricot to repair itself after a little damage, that all the nutrients need to go to that spot. And that's why it creates these spots. And so you may feel like you're a little damaged, But I tell you what, the Holy Spirit's here to come and repair you. And that you're going to have a testimony that's not going to look like the girl's life who looks perfect and probably isn't. But it's not going to look like that. But I'm going to tell you what, you're going to have testimony after testimony of what God has done in your heart and in your mind and in your life. So when you see the fruit that's a little damaged, go ahead and eat it, girlfriend. It's fine. There's even more antioxidants in there. There's even more nutrients in that. And so I just wanted to share that as a little example. Jesus is the healer this morning. I'm just bringing the word, and I'm just bringing the teaching. And oftentimes when Jesus would heal people, he'd also teach them beforehand. And so there's going to be healing in this place at the end of this service, because you're going to have word and faith built up inside of you that you're going to realize that with God, truly nothing is impossible. And he's going to bring that to you. So we're talking about the mind. We're talking about, you know, our thoughts. And I just started to just kind of get in awe of God and how he created our body in general. Like when you look at our body, I mean, just think about creation. God's creating all these things, creating the universe, creating the animals, creating the sea, the sky, the stars, all that stuff. And then all of a sudden he grabs from the dirt and he breathes life into humanity. And here we are, these human beings made in the image of God. Nothing else was made in the image of God. So we can look at ourselves, and you ought to stand back and be in awe of what the body can do. I mean, the body can do some pretty amazing things. I have some interesting statistics here, that just some facts that say that the tongue prints are as unique as the fingerprints. So your tongue print and is as unique as your fingerprint. Now, I'm thankful that we don't have to do tongue prints, you know, like get background checks. That would be really gross. But 50% of your hand strength comes from your pinky finger. Is that interesting? So 50% of your hand strength, I thought it was all about the thumb. It's all about the pinky. Okay. The average person produces enough saliva to in their lifetime to fill 2 swimming pools. That is a lot. The body is insane. Like that is crazy. Some of you are like, my husband can fill 3. Okay. So okay, another one is the stomach acid can actually dissolve metal. So yeah, it can actually dissolve metal, which that's crazy. I wouldn't eat any quarters or anything. But 1/4 of all your bones are in your feet. So that's why foot massages are amazing and from God. Okay, and then humans actually have a diving reflex that shuts down bodily functions when we're submerged in the water to prevent drowning. So God has created the body just incredible. And then when we look at the mind, which we're going to look at today, it's the hub center of it all. It is the central part of it all. And the mind is really incredible. It says at one moment, and I'm getting a bunch, I just want to say this real quick. I when I say I'm quoting some science stuff, it's not because I'm so smart. It's because I read really smart people's books, and you should too. But one of them is Dr. Caroline Leaf, and so she is into the neuroscience and the brain, and she's very passionate about it. She is born again. So if you're interested in following her podcast, I highly suggest it. Like, the podcast titles are How to Deal with Stress, How to Deal with Difficult People, how, like, all these things. Like, wow, like, how did she know this was happening every week? So really, really practical, good stuff. They're not super long either. You know, I can't listen to too long of podcasts. And I read a couple of her books. She has one on eating. She has one on toxic thoughts. And a side note, I like to buy my books from thriftbooks.com because they're super cheap, like $3. And, somebody goes to ThriftBooks. Cool. So it's super easy. You spend $15, you get free shipping. So really cool. Okay, side note. So in her book, she says, at one moment, the mind is creatively performing 400 billion actions. 400 billion actions at one moment. So we're talking about tongue print, and we're talking about feet bones, and we're talking about all these cool things, and now we're talking about the mind. And it says that we are really only aware of about 2,000 of them happening. So your mind is going, and we don't appreciate the mind enough sometimes. A thought in your brain looks almost like a tree. So if we were to be able to visualize and look at a thought, all right, it is, and this is not psycho-cybernetic, you know, new age stuff, all right? This is just science, okay? But you would look at a thought, and it almost looks like a tree. So if my arm was a tree, and here are the branches are my fingers. So if you could kind of visualize that the thoughts that you have in your mind, that they are like a tree. And each tree can actually have about 70,000 branches on it. And we have about 100 trillion trees that take up our space in our thought life. 100 trillion. That's a lot of thoughts, you guys. That is a ton of thoughts. In fact, that we would have about 3 million years worth of storage space in our brains. We are incredible. Turn to the girl next to you and say, you are incredible. I have a stool here because I might sit down. I feel like I'm talking about brainy things, so I need to like sit. But then I'm also a preacher, so it's really hard. So we'll see what happens. In case anyone is kind of like, why is there a stool up there? Okay. So with all these thoughts going on and all this storage space in our brain, are toxic thoughts really an issue? Like, really? Like, maybe you feel like, yeah, I have those thoughts and I just push them down or I push them away or I get over it, Pastor Michelle. Like, I just get over it. And maybe that's easy for you and maybe that's your way of handling things. And we're going to see later on if that's the healthiest way. But the girl next to you may be on a completely different journey. And people in your life may come into your life with a completely different story than that. Because if we just push things down, I want you to know that you're burying something that is alive. And it will resurface. And when it resurfaces, sometimes it looks like anger. Sometimes it looks like control. Sometimes it looks like obsessive disorders. And we can't get over things. So are toxic thoughts really an issue? You see, our brain releases chemicals every time we are happy or we are sad. So it's a chemical reaction that's happening. Our brain is releasing. It's kind of like when you eat chocolate, like happiness, right? At least for me. I love dark chocolate. Yum, yum, yum. Okay. And it peanut butter. Yes. Okay. And it just releases these happy chemicals that come through our brain. And research shows this, that 87% of our illnesses are contributed and attributed from our thought life. 87% of our illnesses are from our thought life because your mind is releasing chemicals and all that is going through your body and your gut area is the hub of where your health is and all that is connected. See, our bodies and our mind and our spirit and our souls are all connected, okay? There's a connection. So only 13% is actually attributed to diet, okay, and lifestyle and exercise, which don't quit your diet, girlfriend. We're going to talk about that too. But, and genetics. So 87% comes from what are we thinking about? What are we letting into our thought and our mind? If depression is always on you, there's a chemical being released. If you are continually anxious, there is a chemical being released. Our body is designed to take on waves of stress. That is true. But the constant stream of stress, it's not made for that. And we're actually hurting ourselves and damaging ourselves physically. So the American Institute of Stress said that 75 to 90% of primary care visits are related to stress. So when people walk into a doctor, a primary care visit, they walk into a doctor's office that most of those visits are because of stress related. And stress is so hard to find, right? Like you kind of, I don't know if you ask yourself, like, am I stressed? Is this just normal life? Like, so we're going to kind of look at that stuff and kind of break it down. But literally when we are living in a pool of toxic thoughts, we are damaging those branches in those trees and we are damaging the brain that God has given us. Because you begin to lose memory as you relay and replay and just go through those things over and over and over again. It's hurting us. I don't know if you've ever felt pain in your stomach because of maybe some toxic thinking or some stress or anxiety, or if you've ever felt pain in your chest. I know I have before. And that is literally causing heart damage, and it's breaking your heart. Like when people say that the hypertension and the heart disease, it's all coming from somewhere. And so, girls, we know that God wants the best for us and that he loves us and cares for us. And so he wants us to have healing in this area. So there's two important groups of emotions that I want to talk about real quick. There's faith-based emotions and there's fear-based emotions. So faith-based emotions are the positive emotions in your life. And the fear-based emotions are the negative emotions in your life. And we've preached this a lot from this church, from this pulpit. We are for faith. We believe in faith. And we often say the opposite of faith is fear. And so faith and fear are not just emotions, but they are spiritual forces with chemical representation in the body. So I'm going to say that again because I think it's a really good chunk of a sentence that we need to get a revelation of. Faith and fear are not just emotions, but spiritual forces with chemical representation in the body. That if you live in fear, right? If you live in fear of what's going to happen tomorrow, I'm afraid, I'm making up scenarios in my head, that all of a sudden there is a chemical that's being released from your brain. And it's a spiritual thing, but it's also having a physical reaction in your body because we're all connected. So what's happening spiritually and mentally can directly affect you physically, all right? It can directly affect you physically. I strongly believe that this is a revelation that we need to realize. Because God does want to heal you. But you have to have faith for that. Don't you remember in the red letter scriptures when Jesus would say, what do you want? What do you want? What do you need healing? What do you need, daughter? He was asking us, are you in faith or are you in fear? What would you like? What are the thoughts that are going through your head? What can you believe for? In fact, he would say, do you believe? And then healing would come because they had faith-based emotions, right? Peter sank in the water because he began to fear as he was walking on water. So there is a representation of the spiritual and the physical coming together. People got healed because of their faith. And we are wanting healing in our mind, and I'm telling you, Jesus wants it for you too. He wants it for you as well. He's here to heal you. And we're going to do that at the end of the service. But negative emotions evolve out of fear. And we have scriptures that show that in Ephesians 4:31. There's hate, worry, anxiety, anger, hostility, rage, ill will, resentment, frustration, impatience, and irritation. So these are some of these fear-based emotions. And then there's faith-based emotions, like Galatians 5:22 through 23 says, where it's love, joy, peace, happiness, kindness, gentleness, self-control, forgiveness, and patience. See, all those are the faith-based emotions. Now, what I am not saying is that bad things will never happen to you and you can never, ever feel any of those emotions, but I want to provide you a tool, an exercise, and a teaching that's going to show what do I do with these emotions? Because real world, we're going to walk out this door and someone's going to get us frustrated. Real world, we're going to get a text message and we're going to say, well, what does that really mean? Okay, real world, we're going to go on Facebook and there's going to be all these sharing and all these comments. And we have to look at that stuff and say, well, what do I do with it now? What do I do with those feelings? See, the science is matching up and defending the word of God. It is showing that God cares about your emotions and he cares about your body. And this is part of the healing process. God came for full salvation, full salvation. God promises me in 2 Timothy 1:7, you know, that was one of the first scriptures I memorized and we have it up on the overhead, but God promises me a sound mind, right? He promises me a mind that is clear and it's love and power, right? And no fear. You know, there's a promise in the word in Philippians 4:7 that my mind will be guarded with the peace of God. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding. That's a promise that God has given me and you. But the problem is that there's a lot of people that's not true in their life. It's missing. It's missing. And so that's what we want to talk about this morning. In Romans 12:2, we have that verse, and I know I'm just kind of going through these verses, but this is a good workshop that we all need to hear. But it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There's a renewing that is happening, and we need to allow God to do that. We need to allow him to detox us from these thoughts. We need to allow that renewing to happen in our minds so there can be healing. Now, I asked you, do toxic thoughts really matter? Are they really a big deal? But when we look at the science of it all, it can be very damaging to our health. You know, just recently in Highland, you know, just a few miles away, There was a crocodile that was loose. I'm not making this up, okay? And it was in the lake in Highland, and it ate someone's dog. So, true story, okay? Now, I guarantee you somebody was in Florida with their family, and they said, look at this cute little crocodile. I mean, it's this big, and we can just put it in a little aquarium, and our kid is going to love it, and he's going to show his friends, and it will be just the cutest pet and so fun. But the thing is that didn't contain to that little aquarium. It only got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's what toxic thoughts can do to us, is that we can say, it's not a big deal, not a big deal. Everybody has anxiety right now, right? Everybody has anxiety, okay? Yeah, not a big deal. I've always been like this. This issue from a long time ago, yeah, it surfaces sometimes. And I just push it down. I just push it down, and I just push it down. And that's how I cope with it. But I'm telling you, one day it's going to be so big you won't be able to manage it. And it's going to get out, and it's going to destroy things that you may love and that you may care about. And I don't want that to happen to you, and I don't want that to happen to me, right? I'm preaching to myself. I'm a creative person. I love to be creative. How many people are creative in this room? The problem with my creativity is I can get a little too creative, okay? And I can start imagining scenarios that have never happened, not gonna happen, but if they do, I got a plan, okay? And I have a good plan, and I will tell them what I think because I already have the script all in my head. And we have to reel those things in because they could become dangerous to us eventually. So how does a mental stronghold... Now we're getting to the spiritual part of it. Done with the science, onto the spiritual. How does a mental stronghold work, like a habit or a set way of thinking? That's what I would like to say a stronghold is. It's like a habit or a set way of thinking. And we're going to kind of use the word heart and mind interchangeably here as we look at this scripture. But what we allow in our mind, it will become a part of us. And we have to recognize that, what we allow. The sin isn't, in fact, that the thoughts are coming at us. They're going to come at us. That's just going to happen. But what we allow to stay with us, you've got to take authority of your house. This is all you. This is your house. And if the devil came knocking on your door and bust through it physically, you wouldn't allow it. I mean, you would be holding that door. You would be doing everything you can. You'd be moving the furniture to barricade him out. But sometimes we let the devil just shoot these little thoughts of like, boo. And it just stays there because we're used to it, because we're tired, because we haven't exercised that muscle of pulling things out. And so what we allow will become a part of us. Our mind is the gateway to our heart, and our heart is the gateway to our life and our emotions and our actions. See, it's the entry point. And in Proverbs 4:23, it says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issue of life. See, what comes into our mind and dives into our heart, we need to be very protective of it. And if you were to think about your heart like a seed bed. If you had a planter and you had your raised bed, or if you're into gardening or anything like that, and if your heart was like a seed bed, and that soil is what's fertile, and it's the core of who you are. It's our thinking, it's our plans, it's our decisions. And so that's what the heart is. It's our seed bed. And every thought is a seed. Every thought is planted. Every thought has a beginning. And you may not even realize it's been planted. In fact, as a child, maybe some things happened to you. And now there is a seed that was planted. Maybe it was traumatic. Maybe it was abusive. Maybe it was just something you saw. And you didn't think much of it. But all of a sudden, it's completely changed how you view stuff. You know, how you view things. I remember when I walked in to our home and somebody was robbing our house. Like, talk about paranoia after that, right? I think I was about 10 years old, and the person was running out of our house, and you just kind of get a little like, whoa, that's a little creepy, right? And you could have a spirit of fear, try to live there and grow there, or you can root it up. because you are in control of you. In fact, you're in control of nothing else but yourself. And it takes a little bit of work, but your heart is a seedbed and every thought is a seed. And if we're not careful, those negative thoughts and those toxic thoughts will choke out what God is really trying to let flourish in your life. The love, the joy, the happiness, the peace, all that stuff. The thoughts that we entertain are our choice seeds for planting. So those thoughts that we let replay and let stay in our heart and let stay in our mind, you know, maybe something's happened with a relationship with a man and it feels like now all men are terrible and all men are dogs. And we've let that choice seed just kind of grow inside of our heart instead of ripping it out. And every seed produces after its own kind. We may be sitting here and thinking, but you talk about love, you talk about joy, you talk about peace and happiness. I can't even tell you the last time I was happy. But you are sowing seeds of anger and frustration and hate. Hate and anxiety are one of the most toxic emotions that we can have. Anxiety is so toxic because even after the tragic event, it lingers. Even after the event, it lingers and it stays with you. With hate, what she was saying in her book is that this, you know, branch, this thought, it begins to break down these branches and you begin to lose that memory and those thoughts. And so we've got to be careful what we're trying to sow, because what you sow, you will reap. And we know that scripture. We know that scripture. So if we aren't careful about what we're sowing, just like a harvest is larger than the seed that is planted, we're going to get thoughts that we've planted and we can't believe the wave that is coming at us. So I want to say that again. Just like a harvest is larger than the one seed planted, if we're not careful with our thoughts, we're going to get a wave of them when it begins to grow and it begins to grow fruit. And we cannot think, how did I ever get to this place? Have you ever been like that? How did I ever get here? And maybe time ago, you let that seed plant and grow and it's time to root it up. That's God's word for you today, is root it up. He's going to give you the ability, he's going to give you the steps, and he's going to give you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, God himself living inside of you to every day walk you through this because he loves you so much. It's time to pull up those negative thoughts. There's a saying that we've said with leadership for a long time, and me and my husband, you know, I'd rather deal with an acorn than an oak tree. I better deal with this now, okay? And it's the same thing with negative thoughts. I'd rather deal with an acorn and do the part of just ripping it out and dealing with it than dealing with an entire oak tree. And now here I am with this huge thing in front of me, and it seems so overwhelming. But I want to remind you, God is the healer. And the enemy's going to try to bait us with many different thoughts, but I want to talk about two big ones today. Number one is fear. And I kind of talked about it a little bit, but fear. Fear is designed to alert and focus you, okay? That's okay, all right? We need to be, if a bear's coming at me, like I'm alert, I'm focused, I'm Googling, what do I do when a bear comes at me? No, I'm just kidding, but, all right? But I want that, okay? I want to be afraid of bears, all right? But what's dangerous is when stress is triggered and there's constant fear. And that's why we need to pull that up, that fear, because it's the root of all stress. So if you're consistently stressed out all the time, like that is your new normal, okay, there is a fear inside of you. Maybe it's a fear of not getting it all done. Maybe you have too much, and the fear of you know, letting someone down because now you have to say no. There's all these types of different fears that you need to look at in yourself. But what have you let fear plant inside of you? It's time to root it up. You know, just recently, which may surprise a lot of people, I have been so afraid to do public speaking. Like, here I am, afraid. No, but it's like jumping out of a plane every week, all right? But I have to deal with those thoughts. And it's kind of weird. I don't know why. I don't know if it's like I'm getting older. Like, I don't know. But it's just this thing that I'm having to deal with a lot. Like, before I preach and speak and after, I'm like, Michelle, you better do something with your brain, okay? Because it's just replaying stuff. And I can't let, and I'm going to be vulnerable with you because I want you to know that I see the issue and I have to root it up. I see the issue and I can't let it stay. Negative thinking hinders our lives, and don't let it hinder you. It's the fear of rejection could be something, you know, that leads us into the bondage of pleasing people. It's a bond. I mean, it's exhausting, like trying to make everybody happy. And it's hard to exercise the no. But when you can feel the freedom of being in charge of yourself and your life, it's amazing. Don't live in that fear. The fear of financial lack could have you feeling like you need to steal, that you need to sneak on your taxes, that you need to cheat somebody with your bills, that all this fear gets us into this thinking, well, yeah, that's rational, and you know, that's good enough, that I have the right to do that. But I want you to know that God has better for you. The second one is perversion. And perversion, you're like, woo, grabbed your seat right now. Like, what is she going to talk about? Okay, listen, perversion is just twisting the truth. It's twisting the truth. And perversion will test us to go past the limits that God has set. God loves you so much. And the best way to live is God's way. That's the best way to live. The best way to go to the extra mile, to bless our enemies, to love the people around us, because you can't out-bless other people. God's going to bless you back. His way is the better way. And sometimes perversion will twist it, just like it did with Eve in the garden, kind of twist the truth, just like Satan tried to do with Jesus, right? Just twist the scriptures a little bit. And perversion will twist it like, you're going to marry him anyways. You know, you're going to marry him anyways. Right? So just sleep with him. What? And perversion twists that stuff. And so we have to recognize that it's something that God has set, these limits that God has set for you. Food can become twisted in our head. What's called to nourish us all of a sudden becomes a crutch in every emotional breakdown. You know, I need the Cheetos. I need the nachos. I need the burritos. If it sends in a O, I want it. Okay? And we use it. She say SpaghettiOs? Oh, Oreos. Right. And what was a treat? I'm going to have two Oreos. All it becomes two rows of Oreos, right? And we find ourselves in this bondage of food. And God wants us to be able to be in control of that and be able to have that exercise of pulling out that perversion, recognizing it, and realizing that God has better for us. In Deuteronomy 22:9, it says, do not plant two kinds of seeds in your vineyard. If you do, not only will the crops you plant, but also the fruit in your vineyard will be defiled. It's very hard to have a harvest when you're planting good seed and weeds at the same time. They will choke them out. There's only enough nutrients in the soil for one. And which will survive? The new reality TV show, My Heart. No, I'm just kidding. But but that's how it is. We can't plant all this stuff and then all of a sudden say, God, where are you? Where are you, God? You failed me. And God's saying, I'm giving you courage right here, right now, to deal with this stuff because he wants it for you. He loves you and he cares about you. So now here comes the practical. How do we break mental strongholds? So you're here, you're ready, you have these thoughts, they've come up in your head. Okay, Pastor Michelle, how do I do this? We must deal with them. Again, like I said, we cannot bury it. It is a zombie. Those emotions will come out of the grave that you have buried and come after you. They will come after you. I don't know about you, but there's been times where I've overscheduled myself. Like, that's an issue I have. I've overscheduled myself. And as I lay down to sleep, there will be literally jolts of, like, energy or fear. I don't know if it's fear. And I, in my head, I'm like, today's been a good day. Like, why can't I sleep? I don't get it. And it's because I haven't dealt with my overscheduling problem. So it may be something that I have to do later on in the week, but now I've gotten to the place where I recognize it. And I realize, okay, I can't do that. My husband cannot have any deep conversations with me at night because I will be up all night solving the world. Like, we got to deal with this now, okay? But in order for me to sleep, I recognize I cannot do that. So you need to recognize the thoughts of fear and perversion that you've planted in your heart. What thoughts of fear or perversion have you yourself planted in your heart? And you've let stay there. And you've let grow there. They cannot continue to take up space in your mind. There's not enough real estate. And this is going to be something that we will probably do for the rest of our lives. And that's okay. We are human and God loves us anyways. And when we get to heaven, we will be perfect. But here on earth, we've got to do this stuff. And that's all right. Number two, how do we break mental strongholds? We need to repent for mixing the seeds of faith with fear and perversion. So we need to just recognize it, repent. Sorry, God, I realize what I've done. I haven't stewarded my mind and my heart properly, and I'm going to move on from this, and you're going to move on. It doesn't need to be a long, drawn out, you know, feel bad and beat yourself over the head, but just repent. Number three, you need to release yourself and others from past hurts and mistakes. Release yourself. I need to release myself from overscheduling. Okay, I did it. I need to get over it. Next time I won't do it again. I need to release myself. Maybe yours is much more serious. Release yourself from that affair. Release yourself from feeling bad how you raised your kids. Release yourself. Forgive yourself. Maybe you need to forgive another person. Forgive them for hurting you. Forgive them for leaving. Forgive them for that terrible conversation that they did completely wrong. Forgive that supervisor. Forgive that person. And release them. And you will release yourself. Whoever we do not forgive, it will be an open door for the enemy. Because don't you know that he will just shoot little thoughts into your head and all of a sudden ruin your day because you now that thought is going and going and going. You may see them in a store. You may, you know, see someone who looks like them. You may just something, you know, our five senses speak so much to our thoughts. You may smell something. You know, you may remember a movie or a song or something like that. And it just brings that into your heart, into your mind. And you've got to forgive them and release them. And then you need to replace those thoughts. You need to replace them. This is a very important step. Because as Christians, we can just say, I rebuke it. You need to replace it, right? You need to put something else in there. It's not good just to have negative thoughts thoughts floating around, but you've got to deal with it. You cannot suppress it. And in 2 Corinthians 10:5, we have that up on the overhead. It says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity. There was a time when I was 18 years old and I don't know why I was so stressed out, but I was, and I could not sleep, and I would consistently be casting down every vain thought, every vain argument. I'd say, come on, Michelle, you know better than this. And it was now undiagnosed, probably depression. And I just continued to do it over and over and over again. And what I would call it is turning the page and turning the page and turning the page. And as you get the hang of that, that's awesome. Now you need to replace that thought. And so those feelings of I'm no good of a parent, I'm no good of a wife, I'm not a good enough Christian, you've got to replace that. Well, I'm learning. And maybe I made mistakes in the past, but I'm going to do better now. I know now. And you begin to replace those thoughts about yourself. Turn the page. Another tip of replacing thought is you need to force every thought through the filter of truth. Because not every thought that you think is all, you know, woo. Okay, sometimes I think some wacky thoughts. Like we did a series in youth, and it was called It's Not That Weird. Because all of us had weird thoughts. Like, I know you've thought that thought, and I know it's weird, but it's not that weird because I've had the same thought myself. Okay, you've got to put these thoughts through a filter of truth. And in Philippians 4:8, we have it up on the overhead. And it says, finally, brethren or sisters, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. We need to meditate, put it through the truth filter, acknowledge that an issue exists. Absolutely. We are not dumb, okay? We are not, I can't see it. Acknowledge that it's truth, but reflect on what's wrong and consider how you can cope with it, and then ask whether or not you can do it alone. So this is a good exercise. As you put it through the filter of truth, you are realizing that, you know what, this is an issue. How can I deal with it? How can I cope with it? I'm not going to ignore that it's there, but I can't stay on that page. You can't stay on that page. You've got to move forward. You've got to move forward. And another tip with replacing your thoughts is that you need to have thoughts of love. And just like this verse is saying, think on the blessings in your life. Yes, you're not at the place you want to be. Yes, that was a terrible experience, but think about the blessings you have now. What are they? Is there one blessing that you have? Is there two? Is there three? Begin to meditate on those things. Have an attitude of gratitude. Be grateful for what you do have and what's going on in your life. Don't dwell on the painful thoughts. You need to spend time with people who bring you joy. That's really important. Spend time, come to the conference and hear this comedian, like get ready to laugh, okay? Be there for the encouraging word. Come this weekend to hear Robert Madu preach. He is gonna bless you. Be around positive people, those girls that you can just go have coffee with and you can share your heart, and they're going to encourage you, okay? And they're not gonna bring you down. And then number five, last one is this, how do we break mental strongholds, is live responsibly. Is that you need to be responsible about it. Okay? And what I mean by that is that you need to play. Okay? You need to have fun. You need to find your hobbies and enjoy life. So be responsible with that. You need to rest. Okay? God created the Sabbath for a reason. It was a part of the law, punishable by death. Hello. Okay? Rest is very important to God. And we need to find those places of rest. That doesn't mean you sit alone in your room. Maybe it's watching Netflix and it's a funny show that you don't have to think about. Find your rest. Okay? Diet and all this stuff. We need to live responsible, because if we are just eating the Oreos and we're wondering why our emotions are like this, it's the sugar rush. Okay? It's taking you up and it's taking you down. So be responsible with your diet. Be responsible on feeding your brain properly what it needs. And exercise, that is the cheapest antidepressant out there, because your body naturally produces endorphins, that happy chemical that gets released as you are, believe it or not, walking, doing burpees maybe. I don't know. Maybe you have a sport that you like. Maybe it's tennis or something like that. And then with responsibility, also you need to look at triggers. What is triggering you? If you can stay away from it, stay away from it. If it's somebody that you work with, if it's something that you cannot get away with, then you have your guard up. And you know, God has given you just the helmet of salvation, just to guard your mind, to guard your heart, and you just walk in that and you stay there. But if you are willingly going to places that trigger you, willingly having relationship with people that trigger these toxic thoughts, maybe it's no sleep. I know that's for me. If I'm tired, the whole world's ending. It's terrible, okay? And so I have to get my sleep. I know that is a trigger for me. Maybe there's shows or songs that trigger you. Just stay away from that stuff. So that was just five ways on how to break mental strongholds. Did you girls get something out of that? Okay. We're going to pray in just a second, but I want to quickly give you an exercise that you can do when you feel anxious. Okay, this is something that I do regularly. This is from Dr. Caroline Leaf's podcast, and it's a five-step exercise. So if you deal with anxiety, girl, it's time to write it down, okay? You need to constantly be asking yourself why, and then answering yourself. Like, why do I have these feelings? Why am I doing it? So here's a five-step process. Number one, what is your body telling you? If you're dealing with anxiety, you are going to probably have maybe some insomnia, maybe your stomach hurts, you know, maybe you start to feel yourself get sick, things like that. And so if you're having that anxious feeling, you need to write those things down and say, okay, so you're writing it down. Number two, you need to analyze. Why am I feeling this way? Why does my stomach hurt? Why am I having these heart pains? So you're finding out why you have the anxious feeling. You're finding why you have physical symptoms. And then you need to answer yourself. So if you want to talk to yourself, go for it. The doctor says we can do that, okay? But maybe I like to journal, okay? So I'll write it all down. And then you need to discuss with yourself, okay? Well, it's because, you know, that email that someone sent really stressed me out. And because of that email, I'm starting to have, you know, these feelings. And so you're asking yourself, well, why would the email stress me out? Well, because they kind of didn't understand where I was coming from or something like that. So you begin to dig deeper and uncover the root of the problem. That's what you're trying to get through. Number three, you need to write. So as you're asking yourself this, you need to write what's going on, because when you write down what actually happened and what you're feeling, now you see it from a different perspective. Have you ever journaled something and as you're writing it, you're like, this is not as big of a deal as I thought it was. Like, this will not end my world. I'm going to be okay, right? And now when you're writing it, you're actually organizing your thoughts. So now you're organizing what you're thinking, and then you have the ability to talk to somebody about it. Now you have the ability to put into words, and maybe you talk to your husband, maybe you talk to a friend, maybe you talk to, you know, whomever. And now you have the ability to say this, and now they can kind of talk back to you and be like, well, maybe they're coming from this place or that type of thing. Number four is you need to go back and reread what you wrote. So now you're editing it. Now you're looking for patterns. Now you're looking for triggers, okay? And now you can go ahead and see, okay, why did I do this? Okay, now I'm seeing a trigger. Now I'm seeing a pattern in my life that when I don't get sleep, I get really irritable, and then all these little problems become big problems to me. And then number five, the last thing is you need to take action. So solve the problem. So you don't get stuck. You do not want to get stuck in self-reflection. This is like a 7 to 15 minute exercise, because you don't want to be like, why and why and why? Okay, like, you need to actually take action and solve the problem. So the Caroline Leaf was telling the story how somebody put a negative comment on her review of her podcast or something, and it really questioned her integrity, so it made her really upset. And she began to write out and journal, follow these steps. And to solve the problem, her and her staff got together, they drafted an email, and they sent it out to the person. And she felt much better because it answered their question. She was able to talk about it with her staff, and boom, there you go. Now she's not having that toxic thought just kind of swirl around in her head. So does that help? I think that'll help. I hope you girls try that. Okay.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.